Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Jack Wright.
I'm Phil Wright. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Now get back in your whole joke.
Dad!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out again with Bill Wright.
Hey guys.
And Jack Wright here.
How's
with
it
us
going?
Too. Yeah guys, this is fun. This is a cool, like, kind of becoming a tradition now, and this is the second time we've third
time we've done the Philpalooza deal.
Yeah.
Third, second time we've done it here.
Yeah. And we've done a few with a couple other parties we've thrown in the mm-hmm. past too and stuff. So anyway, it's just fun to get together before all this and talk and it's a good time all the time. So speaking of good times, though, we were hanging out last night even with the pre-Philipalooza party.
That was a good time
at Broadway Oyster Bar with Bottoms Up Blues Gang and One Way Traffic and Drew.
Yep, grass-fed mule. The grass-fed Drews.
Yeah.
They had Graham with them, and then you know the Scandal Arrows. We closed it out with the Watkins Glen tribute with the band and the Dead. That's fun to do. That's a blast. Those are my three favorite bands, and so getting to like play those tunes and in a row and kind of planning them out. That's a fun time to do it.
Right. Yeah. Such iconic songs, and obviously, with a catalog like that, you can't really go wrong. So
no, and it's getting to pick the ones we want to do. Right. I mean. Not necessarily have to do all the hits. Like the first time we did it, I think we were pretty conscious about making sure we got to do Trucking, we got to do Statesboro, we got to do One Way Out, we got to do, you know, the Midnight Rider. We got to do the hits, you know. And you know, like last night, we definitely did some B cuts from the band, and they, I mean, you know, that's kind of a little more our thing to kind of get deeper into the catalog.
Yeah. Good night. It was fun, man. It was cool, and I got to see also like. Some different stuff, you know, like Frank Bauer mm-hmm. with Bottoms Up and Leslie set in, and like, it was just a lot of fun to see like some of the, and you know, even you're playing some harmonica with them and stuff too,
yeah.
And like it was just it was a lot of fun just to see all the buddies on stage and kind of everybody just jamming with each other, and then Ryan Kemp with One Way Traffic mm-hmm. too, and that was a fun night of a lot of my friends there. So
yeah, when Leah sent me a text yesterday saying that. Because I was asking her who her lineup was, because I had posted the wrong thing about who was playing bass. And she's like, right now, I think we're going to go without a bass player for tonight, which I wasn't worried about. I mean, they're more than competent to cover what they got to cover. And, she said back an additional later that Ryan was going to play bass with them. I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome. Sweet. You know, I was telling somebody last night, sitting at the end of the bar, some friends who don't make it out very often. I'm like, this is kind of one of the fun things about this time of year, because there's a lot of these type of shows where a lot of us are on, like, you know, all of our friends are on the same shows, and, you know, we none of us are afraid to sit in with the other person's band, of course. And so it's like, you know, that's kind of the fun time of the year, is from now through really New Year's. It's kind of like, really through Mardi Gras, honestly, it's kind of like, it's a free for all. It's like, any given night, you know, and any given night in the South Broadway Triangle, you could have several people on stage together and having fun.
Sure. So. Yeah.
It's unique, though. It's like, you know, I've talked about this before. It's one of those that's, it's unique in St. Louis that it's, I mean, I'm sure it happens in other cities, but from what I hear, people who play in other cities, it doesn't seem like it happens as often as it does here. So.
Yeah, I love it. I'm glad we have it that way. Like,
me too.
It's just cool to see the, like, again, just a true community of musicians that want to play together and stuff. And you know, I'm sure there's some people who have some things, but, you know, it seems like everybody just generally wants the best for everybody, and
yeah,
whatever we can do to help each other all out.
At least in the people that, you know, you and I both, like, people that you know that I know.
Right.
You know, I'm sure that in different circles it's a little bit different. And I'm sure there's people in our scene that I just either don't know about and don't, or, and I'm kind of glad I don't, you know, that have problems with those sort of things or don't like it or whatever. But I know a story about a friend's band in another state in the South where there was a falling out between a couple of friends for a little bit, where there was, because somebody was using somebody else's bass player on certain gigs, and, you know, they'd been friends for a long time, and all of a sudden it was, hey man, not cool, you're poaching my gig, and, you know, that doesn't seem like it bothers anybody around here, as long as it's, you know, one of those where, you know, you're not cutting and anybody else's time, and we're not cutting, like, I'm not cutting our dates to play with other people or whatever else. I mean, that's, I think we're all grown-ups about it, you know, and I mean, hell, if I show up and Carson's playing, like, I know Carson did the Barley Alive gig the other night with Jim Peters and Spanky and those guys, and, you know, I really wish I could have just gone to the show just to see those guys do it, because I love hearing those guys play together.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and I think Carson feels the same way when I play with Funky Butt or whatever. I mean, I think we're all kind of on the same page with, you know, who does what.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get Knucklehead here into the scene, too, as he gets older, you know.
Man.
I am proud of the fact that I think he's growing up around the right type of music scene and the right people, and that mentality of being community first. I think that's, he knows that's important, and that's what we kind of push.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and that's very evident with what you've created with Philapalooza too. I mean, like, the amount of talent at one is insane, and then, but, like, the fact that everybody wants to be on this show together, and they, you know, it's like, and grown so much, we got two nights.
Yeah.
You know, as everybody wants to, I mean, that many people want to be a part of it, you know, so that's a good thing. And
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It's funny how I was just talking about it with somebody the other night. The first year we did it was at the Lucas Schoolhouse in 2006. So my dad had passed, you know, we named it after my dad. It's Philapalooza, and my dad was Philip Wright. And so he died of Lou Gehrig's disease in 2006. And I started planning this idea for this, whatever loose idea I had for it, like, while he was still alive. And the plan was to have this show and him be there. And he just deteriorated and got worse a lot faster than we thought he would. Unfortunately, he never got to experience it. But that first one, I think we had 137, I think was the total, 138, something like that, total people. I looked it up not long ago. And we did it at the Lucas Schoolhouse. And it's actually how I met Dan Jameson.
Okay.
So I booked a meeting with him and Jan at the time, who were taking care of events and booking shows. And it had only been open for like a year, maybe less. Booked a meeting with him, talked to him, told him what I wanted to do. He said, I'm on board. What can we do to make it happen? And Dan was he was great to work with that first time. And I had no clue what I was doing. Lightning Bottle Band was the band I was playing with then. And we were doing bar gigs in St. Charles and some Soulard and here and there and everything. And we were trying to get in, you know, get our feet in the door at different places. And so we were excited to be a part of it. And so we had, we played at 1860s regularly. So I'd become kind of friends with Tony Campanella. And we're friends now, but like the time I knew him a little bit and he knew me a little bit, and I asked him to do the show, and I told him, like, I don't know how this is going to go. I have no idea this works out. It plays out. And I literally only knew Tony from the On Stage Tony. And I left him a voicemail, and he called me back like 30 minutes later, and he said, we're in. He's like, I haven't talked to the other guys yet. As long as everybody's good, we're in. He goes, he's like, I think it's great you're doing this. I think it's cool. And he goes, interesting enough, this is what I do for a living. So we're talking about his job and how he has a lot of experience working with patients with ALS. And so there's a personal connection for him there. And I thought, wow, so if I can just find everybody else that I ask has to have some sort of personal connection to ALS, and that's how it'll work. And I came to find out that had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the fact that people wanted to be a part of something that was going to be, you know, a positive step. And it said a lot. Like, I think it was an eye-opening thing for me to figure out that there are a lot of the people that play music in St. Louis that are genuinely just that good of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years, 12 years later now, I mean, I'm friends with a ton of musicians. Most of my friends are musicians at this point. And, you know, I will put not only our talent in St. Louis up against anybody else, but I'll put our character, the character of the people that we're friends with, up against any other city, too. I mean, I'm sure there's great musicians and great players in every town, but I definitely am not short on pride of those two factors about the people that I'm friends with and the people that are part of this thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just had to, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, and I talked about it with the other night with Sean, too, Sean Cannon, and, but how, like, you know, what he's done with Voodoo Players and things, too, and, how he's introduced me to so many of these guys, and I've been, like, welcome into all this stuff, and we've all become, you know, even me and you, like, 2 years ago, we sat down and did this, and we didn't really know each other, right. And now we hang out all the time, yeah. And at the shows and stuff, and it's just, like, it's really cool that we've, you know, again, we're all musicians, they are all musicians, but we all become real good buddies through all of this, and that's the thing, it's just good people, man, it's good, and everyone wants to help, and, like, so it's great that people are donating their time and wanting to be a part of this and giving back to ALS and everything. And
well, I mean, I think the neat thing about, like, you and I and the guys who, like, I knew a lot of musicians already, but definitely through the Voodoo thing with Sean, for example, I've met and become friends with, not just knew him, become friends with a lot of these guys, and, you know, at the point where, you know, I know their wives and their girlfriends and their kids' names and things like that. It's like, I mean, it's, you know, and a number of times I've sat out in front of the sidewalk of the Oyster Bar talking to you about, you know, personal life stuff that's going on and things like that. I mean, you know, I think it's, you know, once you invest in people, investing in people is always going to be your best investment no matter what.
Sure.
And it's, you know, I think it says a lot about the people, though, that are a part of this group.
Yeah, let's rattle off some of these names. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, so Friday night, Palooza, we have the Funky Butt Brass Band, who I think this is... I'm at risk if I start guessing how many times these people have all played. So, they've played several. Almost everybody on this list has played several of the Philippaloozas, either in the band they're in currently or in other bands. So, Funky Butt Brass Band, Falling Fences, as you just mentioned, Sean. Falling Fences will be with us. The Mighty Pines are going to play. I think this is their first time as the Mighty Pines playing. The Service, which, again, those guys have all played in different in multiple different lineups, but I think it's the first time we're having the Service on board. Alligator Wine and Friends, which is our Grateful Dead tribute band, which is made up of, you know, the members of the Scandaleros. And we're going to have Al Holiday on keys with us for that set, for the full set. And we'll have a few other surprise guests. One of the guests will be Jack Wright. Jack's going to play both nights with us, too. So
out of my hole.
let you out of the basement. and then I'm really excited about the Scratch Tones playing. Scratch Tones is made up of Sean and Scott from Mattahoochee and Mark Thomas, who used to play here in town with Treble Clef Palette and Naked Groove and several other acts. He's on drums and a really tight bass player, Drew Powell. And that's who I play with when I go down to Florida all the time. When I play those shows down there, that's the band that I play with regularly. Just a really just fun, tight band that kind of a really diverse range of covers from Galactic and the Talking Heads to Mauve Road, Steely Dan and Zeppelin and stuff like that. And, you know, just professional musicians who are really talented and, you know, do a really good job of putting together the show. So I'm excited to have them on board. And then NAS, Create to Create Sound System, is going to be spinning between sets as well. And I think that's kind of the fun thing we're doing this year. It's a little bit different. We're having NAS and Create to Create spinning on Friday night. And then DJ Alexis Tucci is going to spin on Saturday night between sets. So, you know, while we're turning over the stage and switching bands back and forth, those guys will be, you know, and they're both just really talented DJs, and so just kind of like having that element as a part of the shows, I'm happy to have that. So
non-stop entertainment.
Yeah, non-stop. We're going to keep you moving. And then Saturday night, by the way, Friday night, the show starts early. It's, I believe, 6 on Friday night, and I think 5 on Saturday night. And this is all at the old Rock House, by the way. Saturday night, we have Jake's Leg, who I think maybe, besides the bands that I'm in, and besides maybe Funky Butt and Mattahoochee, they probably played the most of these. Jake's Leg, Mattahoochee is coming back for their first trip back to town since their anniversary show, I think, last year. And you know, Jake's Leg is just a fabulous stalwart for 40 years of being awesome as a dead tribute band. And I mean, good dudes too. Mom's Kitchen, you know, Widespread Panic tribute, like a touring caliber Widespread Panic tribute if you haven't seen them. They'll be taking part. I think this is, again, I'm not going to guess how many years. They've done several. And then I know he's geeked about it because you know when Sean's excited about something, when Sean Cannon's like geeked about something, there's you can see it in his face. He's like a little kid, you know. And so he was really excited about this, and he sat on it for a while to make sure he had it down pat. But him and Alex are going to do Voodoo Tenacious D. And it is so – those songs are so hilarious. Like, I laughed really hard, and then I thought about the fact my mom's going to be there, and then I didn't laugh for a few minutes. And then I started laughing again. I was like, all right, mom's got to accept that this is what's happening.
Right.
It's like, those songs are so fantastic, though. And Alex and Sean's characters, like, their personalities totally fit those roles. Like, I mean, they're I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And then Sean's adamant. This is a 45-minute set. That's it. 45 minutes. If you reminded me again, a text message the other day. 45 minutes. I know, buddy. I gotcha.
Yeah.
The Grooveliner. Grooveliner is going to be a part of it this year. They're they've all taken part again in other bands when Big Brother Thunder before we lost Drew, and so I'm excited about having those guys back on board. That's a little bit different flair for what we have. We don't know that kind of that Latin Afro soul funk type thing is.
Yeah.
I love their album. I mean, that their album stayed. What's that?
Philip loves it.
Yeah, it's funny. Philip, my 10-year-old loves that album too. It's like, I mean. And I mean, like I said, it stayed in the car and in my car for a good month and a half. Where that's when we started the car, it was on, right?
Yeah,
nonstop.
Grooveliner, Adam's CD, and then Al, and then Mighty Pines. He gets exposed to everything in your car. That's
yeah, really yeah. Phillip's probably the only 10-year-old that knows like all the local music as well because that's what you know, he listens to it in the car nonstop. And we do that. We go on a bender with our friend CDs when they come out, and you know the Provella CD was in there for a month or so too. I mean, it's just you know. That's what we do.
Right.
And then Big Mike's back with the Blue City All-Stars, Big Mike Aguirre. He's going to play, I think this is his third time doing it. So excited to have him back, of course. That's just a killer lineup of just local talent doing soul and funk and everything. And then Scandaleros, our band, is going to play a set. And we're hoping to announce that night the date and information for our CD release show. We just got the masters back for our record. From Brad Sarno, who did a great job, you know, making us sound like we're way better than we are, and we're hoping to have an announcement that night at Philippalooza for the CD release show and have it kind of firmed up at that point. It's really a matter of with the amount of guests we have on the record and trying to have them all on the CD release show with the Funky Butt Horns and Emily Wallace and Carrie Liston and Hillary Fitz and Spanky. I mean, that's you know, we picked a pretty good crop of friends to ask to join us, and so we're going to do the CD release show. Damn it, they all need to be there. So,
sure.
But good luck finding an off night where all those guys are free, or at least to be able to do it. So we've got some things in mind, and we're hoping to be able to announce it that night, and then you know hopefully have the date for the actual release of the CD too. So, but I know we're really excited about it about the CD. our band message thread has been a lot more entertaining lately, considering you know it's coming out, and Joe Caven sent one the other day. He goes, wow, it sounds like a real album, like a real band even. So, but I mean, he was being silly, but I mean, it really was one of those things where, you know, you cringe when you do that sort of stuff and you record something, and you're like, I really hope this comes off the way I wanted it to come off, and I think we all feel really good about what we put together.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to share a little sneak peek of what you guys have been up to.
Yeah.
And this is a track from the upcoming record, and you want to share a tune called City Girls.
Right.
And this is featuring you and Emily and
all the ladies like Emily, Carrie, and Hillary are all on it. Spanky's on keys and Funky Butt Horns are on it. And we came in and I wrote that song when I was in Snarky Gargles, and Brian Sachs and I and kind of wrote it together. And it's funny how like I had a general idea how I wanted to have like the funky side first, and then I wanted like when we changed, because it goes from City Girls to Country Girls, and when it changed over, I wanted to kind of drop into like a bluegrass beat, like a double time. And it's funny how we played it that way straightforward for a long time, and then you bring in the Funky Butt Horns on it, and they played it with us at festivals a couple of times along the way, but even in the studio, there's having them come in, as much as I played with them, I don't speak the language like they do, the scatting language, and I was trying to explain to them what I wanted, and Aaron Chandler's like, we got this. We're good. And so they kind of, like, wrote the lines in the studio, like, wrote, but they put the other lines they wanted to play in the studio, and you know, they're pros, they had it knocked out in no time flat, and then when we got the recordings back, I was like, I don't think we meant for it to come out sounding quite like New Orleans gospel as it turned into, but I'm like, I'm so psyched about them. I mean, is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, you geeked so hard.
Yeah, I did.
It sounds great.
I did geek pretty hard about it, because it was so New Orleans gospel sounding that I was like, I didn't think about it sounding like this in my head, and, you know, of course it's what it sounds like with all of us on it and everything. I mean, and the term that Emily threw at it was, you know, the whole album just sounds really swampy. Yeah. And I mean, which is, you know, we've been called Bayou Funk and Swamp Boogie. I mean, so it makes sense that that's what we sound like on the album. So.
Yeah, man.
Pray you find your way home.
Very cool. I was talking to the guys last night. Like I said, I saw you all there at the Oyster Bar and talking to Sean and talking to Carson, and everybody seems excited, and I'm excited to get a copy of the record and give it a good listen. And I'm sure many others are very excited too as well to get Scandalero's record.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, man. I mean, that Carson's been playing these songs since before I was in the band. I mean, and doing them solo shows and trotted out with different bands too. But you know, it's funny. Like, I heard these songs from a friend/fan perspective, and then I was playing them regularly, and then it's like, dude, how do we not have anything in any of this recording? And there's been other endeavors where we've gone in and didn't quite finish things up, but yeah, to have it finally, finished product, and know that what it's going to sound like, and kind of like be like, wow, this is actually coming together. And then also to have basically, we have at least the frameworks for a second album already written out and lined out between which original material that both of us have written. So that'll be fun too, kind of how we're going to go down that road is what we're going to do with it next. But yeah, my high school students have listened to the album, whether they wanted to or not, a few times already.
You sing it in the shower. I'm surprised if they wouldn't have heard it by now.
No. It's just one of those things where we're proud of it. Can't wait to have it out.
Yeah, man. You mentioned Funky Bud, along with playing Philpalooza and playing on the Scandalero's record. Mm-hmm. You're also going to be joining those guys at their party.
Yeah, the Brass Extravaganza.
Yeah.
You've been, right? I mean, you know, yeah,
well, so it's always a weird weekend for me, I think in the past, I'd also had like El Monstero tickets or something like that, something else came up, but I finally got to go last year. I was super pumped about it. I was like, all right, I got this. I've already saved the date and everything, and I was like, I'm going, and then like a massive snowstorm.
Oh yeah, ice one.
And I was like, oh man, so I was gonna go Friday night. And, everybody was, iced in. And,
Ron didn't make it to the gig.
Yeah, he's stuck on the highway.
Poor guy. I felt so bad for him.
Didn't Al eat it when he was getting out of his giant watchlisty van? Because there was ice on the
watchlisty van. Al, Jack's making fun of your van while he's wearing your t-shirt, by the way, just so we're clear. All right.
Yeah, we talked about him today at the swap meet.
Yeah, we did. We went to a musician swap meet this morning, and some kid behind one of the counters saw Jack's t-shirt. He's like, are you a fan of Al Holiday? And we're like, yeah, big fan. He's like, that guy's awesome. Like, yeah, he is. So yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody in St. Louis that doesn't think the world of Al.
Sure. Yeah, man, he's a great guy. And I love that too. Just that you wear the shirt around and people want to talk to you about it. Like that's one of my favorite things. Wearing my buddy's shirts and stuff. Like, oh, you know them? I'm like, yeah, man. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm always.
It's fun when you do it anywhere. Like, all of a sudden it happens in a different city. That's even funnier. When you're like, I was wearing a Matahuchi t-shirt in Memphis one time. And I was in a record store, and a guy stopped me and says, you know about Matahuchi? And I'm like, yeah, I know about him. And he's like, man, those guys are awesome. I'm like, sure. Yeah, they are. They're great. I'm not saying anything about it. I just didn't say anything about the fact that I was friends with them and everything like that. And I just let him cheese about it for a little bit. It's just kind of cool to hear people, really, truly fan geek out about your friend's band.
Yeah, and last year, after the Bastard of the Ends, I was wearing this shirt to school, and I also had pajamas on because it was finals week, so I stopped caring. And one of my English teachers had the Bass Jamming Anza shirt on, and he had took his kids to it.
Yeah.
So it's just cool to have those little connections at school.
Yeah, Jack got to go last year for the Saturday Matinee show, which I think is cool they do.
Well, so I got iced in on the Friday night, so I Saturday warmed up so enough to where I could make it to City, and I went to the, I think I had to work Saturday night or something, so I went to the Saturday show, and so that was my only experience, but we've already got tickets for... this year's, so we get the full effect.
Cool.
But the matinee show is great too. I mean, I had a lot of fun. Santa was there even, and so it was a good time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and that was the first time that they'd done that. And I've been fortunate. This will be, I think, my fourth year doing it with them. I just do a handful of tunes. At this point, it's like I like to be there for the hang as much as I do. I mean, the songs are fun to play, but the show's a blast to be a part of, and it's hard not to really just laugh out loud while you're playing on stage and it's snowing. Sure. The snowblower's going off, and your friends are dressed in the most outrageous, Christmas pajamas and
tighty-whities,
basically. So in some cases. And you got Josh Wattler dressed like an elf.
And he's the Grinch last year.
He was the Grinch during the daytime. He's the elf as well. And Bob Bennett from Jazz at the Bistro is Santa Claus in his pimp Santa costume. It's so great.
Yeah.
It's visually and musically just one of the. It's I say it all the time that if Philippalooza kind of kicks off the holiday season for a lot of people in our scene, then I think the Brass Extravaganza thing is like literally like okay, it's officially Christmas or whatever you know whatever you're celebrating. It really is that now because you know it's how do you go to that and not come home like just happy as hell? I mean, and it's you're watching grown ups. This is I've said this before. You're watching from the stage. You're looking out. You're watching grown ups' faces. They may have a few drinks in them, but their faces look like little kids on Christmas. I mean, they're just like smiling from ear to ear, and they're hearing you know arranging some of these songs that they've never heard before. And it's like it's the visual presentation, it's the whole works and whatnot. And like I said, another matinee show was fun with the kids and everything like that. But I'm glad you're going to get the full adult experience of the whole thing. It's
makes me not afraid of growing up.
There sure is a little bit of faith in humanity for sure. Yeah, it does. So, but yeah, I'm proud to be a part of that. And those guys are some of my best friends.
They got a brand new Christmas record out too.
Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it yet. No,
it's awesome. Excited, it's so good.
Yeah. So come to the show. Grab take home a copy of the new Christmas album and. That's December 15th and 16th over at Off Broadway. Tickets available today at offbroadwaystl.com.
Mm-hmm.
Grab those. I don't know if we mentioned, but Philippalooza tickets are available at MetroTix as well. So you can $15 one day, $25 for 2 days.
Yep. We kept it $10, by the way. It was $10, and I really actually kind of fought changing the price this year. But it was time. I mean, it's $10 the first year was in 2006, and it was still $10 last year. And I'm like, it's time. I mean, it's time to, you know, take it to the next step.
That's, $25 for a weekend with that lineup, that's a steal still. You know,
I would pay it.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't playing it, I'd pay it to go see it.
Yeah. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff happening, a lot of big things happening coming up here in December and stuff. You're also doing Voodoo Highwaymen with Sean on December 13th.
Yep.
Right before that, December 8th, you guys are taking a little road trip to Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah,
we're
going to be with Driving Wheel and a couple other bands doing Greg Allman's birthday on December 8th at Rose Music Hall. So we're excited about. We obviously have a lot of albums and material to do, and it was kind of fun to do the song draft. Pat K put that together for us, and kind of picking the songs each band was going to play for our set. And Scandaleros and Spanky, who is the honorary extra Scandalero all the time, is making the trip with us too. Sure. So that'll be fun. That'll be our first time getting into Columbia. So
and Driving Wheel, they're bad, man. I love those guys. Ryan is one of my favorite guitar players. Is to watch. He's just so good, and then blanking on his name. Just drawing a blank note. Jeremy on bass. He's another just solid bass player. Very very talented.
The few interactions I've had with those guys, they're great, and I've seen them play before. We just you know, sometimes if you're not playing on the same festivals at the same time, it's hard to get to know people. But like I said, I've met them all before. They're good dudes, and I love their sound. So I was excited to be a part of it. And I know the other guys are, too. And, you know, just getting to Columbia. And you know, I've known Pat Kay for a long time from his work with Sean and things like that. But, you know, I was really excited when he asked us to do this. And so, you know, I think hopefully it can become something where we can get up there fairly regularly to do, you know, other stuff besides the Greg Allman. The Greg Allman thing's fun. And somebody who's obviously a huge influence on all of us. But definitely... you know, we'd like to get back there and do one of our own shows and, you know, be a part of, you know, something where we can kind of go in and do our original music as well, too, down the road. But, yeah, that's December 8th at the Rose Music Hall. And, you know, this next week I have two – I think there's a handful of us that are doing it this way, but I'm doing two Last Waltz shows as well. I'm doing the Stat Night All-Stars with the Scandaleros on the 22nd at the South City Athletic Club, doing the Last Waltz show. And then on the – 25th, of course, with Sean Cannon's video players, I'll be playing Ronnie Hawkins at Delmar Hall, doing the Hawk for his Last Waltz show. And it's funny because they're both the Last Waltz show, but they're completely different concepts for the whole thing. And like the Stag Night All Stars one is there's several bands on the bill, and we'll all play a handful of songs, and you know it gets off the Last Waltz thing and into the other band things. But it's fun. Last year was the first year we did it with Scandaleros, and then Sean's thing is much more of the actual presentation of the movie version, where each of us is playing a role and you know, he has a house band around him, and then each of us is playing the guest from the movie coming out. And I don't know, for a kid that, you know, found that movie when I was young and thought that was like the greatest concert movie concept period, I'm like, I still watch. I mean, Jack's probably seen The Last Waltz as much as he's seen, you know, Rudolph or some Christmas special. I mean, at this point, so I mean, it's you know, he's grown up watching it, and so to get to be a part of one of those is fun, but you could do it twice in 1 week is really awesome.
Right. Yeah, man. That's me and my mom will be there Saturday
night. I love seeing your mom at shows. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's you know, it's really cool. It's something that's sort of still a new thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, she took me to, like, my first show that I really recall asking to go to. Was, she took me to see Matchbox 20 in 1997. Matchbox 20, Semisonic, and Soul Asylum.
Oh, wow. Where was that?
At the arena. Scott Trade or Savas or whatever it was at the time.
Whatever it is now.
Yeah. or Kiel even, maybe, or whatever it was. We went down there. It's fun now that, like, she's retired, so that also helps her be able to go to more shows now. Like, she's got more free time and things. But yeah, she's been coming out to a lot of them, and she's even going without me now. She went to Blues Brothers Voodoo Night without me because I couldn't go, and so she went down and had a good time and got beer spilled all over her and everything. So she.
I think everybody went home smelling like booze at night, though.
Yeah. My girlfriend's parents went to that show.
Brooke's parents were at the Blues Brothers show. Oh, wow.
That was a fun conversation.
Explain it to your girlfriend's parents why your dad's Elwood Blues.
they love the scene anyway. They go out and see Funky Boat all the time.
Yeah, I knew that. No, and that was actually... It's funny how St. Louis really is. That there's so many things that interweave. So when Jack started dating his girlfriend, shortly after that he goes, "Do you know a guy named Chip that with the Atomic Cowboy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know Chip." So Brooke's aunt, right?
Yeah.
Is... married to Chip now. So Jack...
No, it's they're still engaged.
So Jack went to the engagement party for Chip. And so we played at the Atomic Cowboy the night before the engagement party. And I was like, "Hey, so my kid's coming to your house tomorrow." And he's like, "Yeah, are you just gone there like the day before that or something like that, right?" I think it was...
No, I think it was you played before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, "So, yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, we're fine." I'm like, "Okay, cool. I'm like, we don't need to get in any of, you know, the silly stuff." And he goes, "No, it's fine." And then he told me that afterwards. He goes, you know, he was very complimentary about Jack. I saw him later, and he's like, "Yeah, I think he was just more like wanting to hang out and check out my guitars and everything." I go, "Yeah, that sounds about right."
Yeah, that's what I did. It's exactly what I did. So many. Yeah, it's great.
But you know, it's just what are the chances of that? Like, he met his girlfriend at his school. He goes to Park Way North. He met his girlfriend at his school, and then winds up that A, her parents go to see shows that I'm playing on, and then B, you know, his, the one, like, he was looking for somebody who had the sort of qualifications. Or were you? Maybe you were.
I don't know. She's in bands. So
was that on her Tinder profile?
Band and not freakish. That's hard to find. So, you know, as a band person, I can say that.
Doesn't have a booger collection in a drawer or anything like that. Yeah, so.
She doesn't have a doll of me in her closet.
You don't know that she doesn't have a doll of you in her closet.
I've been in her room, so I mean.
We don't need to talk about that any further.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Joy of having your kid on the air with you. So
doors open. We're good.
I'll make the natural transition into talking about shows.
For a week.
Well, so we do just like in the past, you're gonna have all Philpalooza shirts and you got some posters, and you're gonna have 50/50s and all kinds of other fun stuff to go along with all the music. And
yeah, there'll be 2 days of silent auction items too, with stuff from the Cardinals and Hope for the Blues and a few breweries, concert tickets, dinner packages, gift certificates for places, autograph, different type of memorabilia for sports and music, you know, all that stuff will be a part of our silent auction. We'll have a guitar per day signed by both bands, by all the bands that are playing that day to auction off to. You know, and if Jack's grades are bad, then it could be two of his guitars that are upstairs.
Well, we got a new one, maybe.
Yeah. Funny how that happened. I went to a swap meet and I sit all the way out there. I'm like, I'm not getting anything today. Just so we're clear, I'm not buying anything. And we walk out with a Washburn hollow body guitar because, you know, I can't save. And then I'm like, "Here, Merry Christmas," you know. And then yeah,
you're so polite about it.
Yeah, I was. You got a guitar.
I'm not arguing with the guitar.
No, I was a little more snarky when I said Merry Christmas, probably. I was complaining about taking my wallet out, but yeah, it's, you know, I figured it like this. If you know, there's things kids could be blowing money on, doing stupid stuff that's not going to be a lifetime thing, you know, and it's to Jack's credit, when he asks for stuff, it's almost always something related to music or sports, you know, the things that he's really passionate about, and he hasn't frivolously, you know, asked to spend money on wasteful stuff. I mean, usually not anyway. Other than your hipster clothing, but that's about it.
Not entirely hipster. And this is just comfortable, okay? It's a double XL. It's not like I went for fashion on this.
No, you look like Lebowski.
Good.
I mean, you know.
See-through flip-flops? I can get those. Oh,
the dude.
There's a beverage here, man.
I hate the Eagles.
We both hate the Eagles, so there's that. Also, I want to make sure that I did plug this because it's something that's really not something I do regularly. Is Thursday. We don't usually play weeknights at the Venice. Typically speaking, we're a weekend band most of the time. That, but the night before Philippalooza, kind of as a sneak peek, and just to really honestly get a chance to play with Scott and the Scratch Tones guys a little more than just the one set, we're going to do a combo show with the Scandaleros and the Scratch Tones at Venice Cafe on Thursday the 30th. So all you Matahoochee fans out there, you can get your a little bit of your hooch, at least your Scott and Sean fix, on Thursday night with us, with the Scandaleros and the Scratch Tones at the Venice Cafe on Thursday, November 30th. That's the Thursday night before Philippalooza. So that should be a lot of fun. We're going to play, I think we're going to play the first set and then turn over the rest of the night to them. And I'm sure that there will be some, I'm sure there'll be some people joining each other on stage back and forth that night. So it's it'll be a good time. And it's totally, their song catalog doesn't cross over into ours a whole lot, or like a lot of the songs that a lot of us play, so it'll be stuff you don't get to hear very often too, and done really well, so you should check that out as well.
Yeah, and it's just a fun hangover there. Venice is such a neat spot, man.
It's one of those places we joke about it all the time. We were just played there the other night, and on stage Joe or Sean, one of the other guys, said, look, he pointed out that there was the people, and you can always see them because they're always looking around with their mouth open, because if you haven't been to the Venice Cafe, you should check out the Venice Cafe, because it's literally, it's, you know, it's visual overload. It's so vibrant and colorful, and I played there for 10 years at this point, and I still find things on the wall that I didn't know existed. Right. I'm like, oh, check that out! Never saw that before. That's really funny. So you can always see the newbies when they walk into there, and they're like, wow, this is a little bit stimulating. There's a little bit going on, but and that room's so much fun too. I mean, you can have 10 people in there and have a raging party, or you can have 30 in there and have, like, you know, a complete and total raging party. It's you know, it's a good time at the Venice all the time. So that was the, you know, I basically, when I asked someone, they said they wanted to get together and play, I go, well, what venues do you want me to try to hit up? And Venice was on the short list, and I was like, I probably can find a Thursday night that way if I do it well in advance. So I'm glad it came together.
Nice. Yeah, very cool. It's with Jack here and stuff, like, we got to see you last year on stage with at Philippalooza and stuff. I'm excited to see you again up back on stage. And I just and I saw a video the other night. You were playing some original stuff, right?
Oh yeah, it's this open mic thing that my teacher had me do and extra credit, so I went for it. And it's a whole bunch of teenagers, so if they don't like your stuff, they can't judge you too hard. So.
But that's just I love that seeing that you're pursuing this and that you're, you know, writing and wanting to play all the time and stuff. That's it's really cool to me, man. I got a couple other young friends that are actually just threw a big party the night over at Old Rock House, the Matching Shoe, mm-hmm. and then Gypsy Lion is Connor Lau and yep. Ray Simmons, and this is, they're all like in high school and they're all like wanting to play, and it's just really cool to see what they're doing, writing original music and playing out. Are you going to put the Jack Wright band together sometime soon or anything like that? Or
I'm hoping to, but like all the band kids that I'm trying to put together, because they're all great musicians, but their moms are always like, you need to be back in the house at 9 o'clock and then to do this. So it's just trying to work around everybody's schedule, and you know, you're in high school, so you got finals coming up and things like that. But hopefully sometime in the spring we can... Don't start thinking that you're something special to him. He's got other women, honey. Just keep running back to him.
Also got a lot on your plate right now. I mean, you play football and baseball and marching band and jazz band and pep band and symphony and whatever. I mean, you've got a lot going on. Right. So it's people wonder about how busy I am. I wonder how he's as busy as I am half the time. I mean,
couch gets boring after a while, dude.
I do. I'm not complaining. You don't sit around and play video games for 10 hours a day like a lot of kids do. So I mean, you know, it's maybe 3 hours a day, maybe, but 10 hours. So
I just got put in a lucky spot because I mean, you've never ever been like, oh, so do you want to do music? Okay. I mean, I got to grow up with a lot of cool people around, like Sean and Alan, the Funky Book guys, and all the people you play with. You never brought over somebody. I was just like, oh, you're letting that guy in the house. But I'm just really happy to be where I am because there's a lot of parents that would just see that as a waste of time, but I got so many opportunities that nobody else in my school has, and I'll have pictures like the one up on the wall over there from Philip Luzzo that I get to post on Instagram. People are just like, what did you do this weekend? It's like something better than you did.
just being a rock star for the day. What?
Just winning. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. The funny thing is he's right. I mean, I never put a baseball glove on his hand and said, you're going to play baseball. He just wanted to. I mean, and you know, and I don't claim to be an expert parent, but being a single dad, I think my job as a parent is to introduce you to something and say, this is something I really like. See if you like it. Mm-hmm. And if you do, it takes off. And so it was literally just a Fender Squire Stratocaster that came with an amp for his Christmas present when you were, what, 10?
Yeah, I remember that.
10, 9, 10, I think maybe 9. And I was like, here you go, buddy. You know, let's try it out. And yeah, he's had some pretty good guitar teachers, too. He's had, you know, Mark Young Bauer from Naked Rock Fight and Trouble Cup Palette was his first teacher. And then he had Sean Cannon for a while and then Carson, you know. And then, you know, that's a pretty good trio of guys to kind of introduce you to. And so, but it is funny, like, the guys all treat him like a musician at this point. I mean, like, we were in Guitar Center. Like last month?
2 months ago, I think.
2 months ago. And Al saw him. I didn't even see Al. Al was on the other side of Al came up out of nowhere. And first he scared him. He's like, hey, baby, what's up, Jack? So Jack's like, oh, you scared the crap out of me. He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom now. But, I mean, you know, I'm glad they treat him like one of the guys. Like last year at Philip Palooza, you know, Adam comes on stage. The Funky Butt guys are coming on stage to join us. And Jack's just smiling real big. And I'm like, welcome to the stage of the Funky Butt Brass Band Horns. And they're coming by, and each one of them, like, bump mics with him or high-five him or whatever, and they all know Jack at this point. And Adam Hookey looks at him and goes, hey, Jack, next time don't leave your damn guitar case at the top of the steps.
Brian told me to put it in there. It's his case. That was his case.
But it was right. He's right. Don't leave it right at the top of the steps.
I was just like, you sure? That seems out of place. And he was like, no, go for it.
It was just funny to hear him basically, like, Brian, you know, treat him like if I would have done it, you know, and they treated him the same way. But he's gotten more comfortable. You've gotten more comfortable with doing this at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first year he did it, there's a picture of him. I don't think we framed that one, but there's a picture of him somewhere where you can just see like the lock in his jaw, like, because like, it's one thing to think you want to do it, and then to get on stage and look out there and see 500 people in front of you looking back at you.
Sure.
I saw his eyes get really wide, and I walked over to him on stage and just go in his ear, go, breathe. Yeah. It's okay, just breathe. And he did a great, he did a good job, but it was definitely like, you know, you could see he was more tense. And then each time he's done it since then, he's more like last year. You sang Maggie's Farm. You kicked off a couple of songs, started them off for us, and you know, it's. I think you're having fun with it at this point. He's also the only. I'll let you tell the story, but he's also the only 16-year-old I know that's asked his girlfriend to prom from on stage at the Oyster Bar when I was playing. So
you know, I just there's all these Instagram posts of guys that like staple up things on like highway overpasses or they write a big sign, and I was like, I haven't seen an on stage one yet, so I'll go for that. And she said yes, so that was better than I expected it to turn out. And we've been dating for 3 months, so I deserve the right to play Get Out Woman on the stage if she says no.
He did have a backup song and she said no. It was going to be Get Out My Life Woman, yeah. The Alan Toussaint Dune was going to be. So we were playing with All Richard Up, and I asked Steve and those guys, I said, so Jack wants to do this thing. I'm like, I'm already on the gig with you guys. Do you care? And they're like, no, this is great. They loved it, of course. They ate it up right away. And so his girlfriend came down and got up to a few
that
songs.
That is my wallpaper, actually.
Yeah, that's that picture. That's their we're going to prom together picture of the three of them outside in the murals outside the Oyster Bar. So I'm like, that's probably unique. That's not one of the things kids get to do. And I mean, you know, my dad did a really good job of involving me. I played on his softball teams growing up and involving me with things his friends did. And, you know, I think there's a lot to learn from playing music and playing sports both. And I think there's a lot to learn about playing music and doing things the right way by being around the right people. And I feel very comfortable about the people that I have Jack around. It's like, it's, you know, there's none of them that wouldn't look out for his best interest and wouldn't be, you know, be conscious of the fact that they're setting an example, not just with what they're saying or doing, but why they're, how they're handling themselves professionally on stage and how they're presenting themselves. And, you know, he knows a lot of the things that I had to learn the hard way, you know, as far as etiquette and things about stage performance type stuff. And he's learned a lot of that stuff, you know, just by watching how people are carrying themselves. You know, yeah. It's, I think he's having a pretty good experience with the whole thing. So it's, at this point in my life, it's a no-brainer to have him play events like this with us. And he came in and played Mardi Gras with us last year too. Came out and played at the Oyster Bar. My mom, the minute I told her, I'm like, all right, we're going to take a break at this time. And the parade starts at that point. At that point, get him out of there. And so he finished the set with us. My mom was literally standing in the pit where I stand all the time on the side right there with her with Jack's jacket wide open like this, like, put him in his jacket and like it was like when James Brown or like Elvis left the building. It was like Jack Ryan has left the building. She shoot him to the car.
No,
like,
idea the amount of deep sighs that I heard walking into the Oyster Bars.
So my mom, when she doesn't approve of something,
it's like, feel. I don't know about this.
She's gonna hear this. You better watch what you say right here.
So. Love you, Gigi.
That was a wild day.
You did have a wild day. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's an interesting experience working the door at Mardi Gras for Oyster Bar. So
yeah, it's a. I think this will be our. We're doing it again this year. We do the kegs and eggs set. As far as I know, we're doing the kegs and eggs. I know we're on it. I think we're doing the kegs and eggs set again, which I kind of like. My day's nutty as it is, so if I can get our responsibility stuff and have fun playing the show, of course. But I mean, like, you know, the things we have to worry about, get that done early.
Yeah,
and then. That evening, I finished up with usually a funky butt at the Rock House, but yeah, you had a pretty interesting day this year. That was, I think I was standing next to you when the guy literally tried to walk in with an entire bottle of.
I forgot about that. But yeah, some guy had like an entire like fifth or whatever, and like I'm like, and he's like, I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Like,
you can't bring in a bottle of Jack Daniel's so far. We frown on that here.
Yeah, I was like, get rid of that now. Like, and so.
Hey, he was like, what? I don't have anything. This whole thing? I use it to block my tires so my parking brakes out.
Yeah.
Brad cops.
Never a dull moment down there, that's for sure, man.
Well, you've seen some stuff, haven't we?
Yeah.
Some really interesting stuff. It is my favorite place in town, though. It's home away from home. But we've definitely seen our share of weird.
Yeah. Well, again, grab your tickets today. We got Philippalooza coming up December 1st and 2nd, two nights, $15 one day, $25 two day. And like I said, stacked bill full of music, all kinds of raffles and giveaway, or not giveaways, but I don't know.
Silent Auction.
Yeah, Silent Auction. Yeah, I was blanking on that.
Yeah. So, neither one of us hit my last night. So,
what's Josh doing the taco this year? Or is it going to be just Afro?
Probably one different each night. I mean, maybe this is the year he does it in drag. I have no idea.
That was pretty great there for Halloween. The different Wattlers.
You know what? Josh does a lot. I mean, he does a lot to make sure that our shows go out successful, and he doesn't ask for anything for it. We joke about the fake manager thing, and it's the truth is he really is he's our sound guy. He's our roadie. He's our manager. He's, and above all, he's our friend. And it's, you know, I don't know. It was we were kind of trying to come up with an idea for us, kind of the common costumes for our show, and you know, I knew Josh kind of needed to pick me up at the time. Nothing big or nothing like that. Just, you know, I wanted to make sure he knew he was being appreciated. And so, if you don't know Josh Wattler, you've probably seen Josh Wattler at shows before, dressed as a taco or with an afro and party shades or a banana back in the day, or possibly in drag on a Halloween show. And so, I mean, there's multiple different Joshes you can be, and we just chose, each one of us chose a Josh. And Spanky as the taco might have been the best one, though. Spanky went and bought a taco costume just so he could be Josh for the show. And, like, I mean, it was pretty good. It was pretty spot on.
That's a good friend there.
Yeah, I went and got the bald head cap and my I Piss Excellence t-shirt that I made. You know, I think I was successfully three different Wattlers, by the way. I was Camp Out Wattler. I was just regular Josh with the bald head. And then I was, what was the third one I was? I was pseudo business Wattler, I think. And Sean England did the bromance Wattler. He was me and Josh Wattler combined with I was like, all right, that's kind of clever, actually. Just to do me and England together, me and Josh together.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks again, guys. This is, like I said, I look forward to this. It's always a fun thing getting to talk to you guys and
for sure
getting to share some of these stories and all this fun stuff. So. Follow along online. You can RSVP to the Philippalooza, and you got your Breast Extravaganza coming up. You got Scandaleros on Facebook and all that fun stuff. Keep an eye out for the new record. Hopefully we'll have some party details coming soon.
Hopefully soon.
And yeah, a lot happening, so get involved. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.